This is RSBNB Update, episode 484, recorded Friday, September 26, 2014. Priftiness. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update, another episode of RSBNB Update coming at you. One of the other podcasts that we've been waiting so many years to cover has finally arrived this week, and that is the release, and the first batch at least, of the Elven City, otherwise known as Priftiness. And joining us this week, in addition to our normal friend, is Alex43.
What's up?
Ow.
Yeah, I kind of
had to do that.
The same thought there, but welcome.
What's up?
We last had you on. It was a little while ago, and it was a good show, so we thought might as well go with you here, because you're also a lore hound to us, so, and you know, you've been around as long as we have in this regard, so we thought it would probably be a good thing to have a chat with you as to what's actually finally going on with the city. In your perspective, as well as ours. So, let's begin. So, Priftiness, the first batch, featuring the Iowarth, Trehearn, Kadarn, and Kruis clans, and, of course, the Tower of Voices. Iowarth is Slayer and Melee. Trehearn is Mining and Smithing. Kadarn is Magic and Ranged. And Kruis is Farming and Woodcutting. I assume I was saying Kruis correct, if I remember. Maybe I should look up an ancient Welsh.
Kruis?
Yeah. Pronunciation key on that. But
I don't know.
Nonetheless, so what did we first do this week pertaining to the city? Let's start with you, Alex.
What did I do? Well, I entered the city. I looked around. I got myself lost. And I mined a lot of stuff because it's wicked good mining experience, like chopping ivy. So I did that for a while, and I basically just, I mean, it's a big city. You go just go around exploring, you talk with everybody, see what everyone's got to say. Sometimes they just give you free stuff for no reason.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's something we haven't had a chance to do for a long time, but otherwise.
It was nice that there's actually quite a bit of history behind the city and the elven kind, if you just talk to the right people.
Yes. We'll talk about that in the Tower of
Voices. I also went around and searched for those memory shards that you can collect. There's 8 of them right now, and there'll be... Okay.
There'll be... Sorry, you cut out there. What did you say?
Otherwise, I mainly focused on the... Sorry. Mainly, I just focused on the Trehearn and the Kruis sections. Right. I did a little bit of fighting with Kadarn, but I just stayed away from Iowarth.
All right. How are you?
For me, first thing I did was watch the cutscene going in. I found a little welcome party that came about.
Oh, the cutscene.
It was nice. It was a little cutscene. But one thing I think, I haven't fully explored the entire thing yet. I really thought it was interesting how many banks there are in the area. It's like every other platform, there's a bank chest somewhere for you to do whatever you need to do. Grew some herbs and a bush just to go... One thing that I found was just like, oh my god, it was all the portals. Like, oh wow, one for the clan, one for the home, one for dungeoneering. All right.
You know,
usually I just use the ring.
Yeah, with the portals, it kind of feels as though, you know, you don't need to stay anywhere, or that you don't need to go anywhere else. But I'm actually finding I'm splitting my time quite effectively. It's not too overpowered as, you know, some thought it would be that you'd want to spend your entire time there. So I think that's good, at least. With regards to banks, there's the Grand Exchange Bank. There's one in the mining and smithing area, Kadarn, and there's one by the woodcutting guy. And I think there might also be one in the Iowarth area, but I'm not 100% sure. So, yeah, definitely lots of banks around. And I mean, when you think about it, that's kind of on par with Varrock. Right, we got 3 banks in Varrock. We got 2 in Ardoyan, that sort of thing. So it's a fair thing with being as large as Varrock or bigger to have that many banks in this first half of it, I think, right?
Yeah, there's quite a few banks everywhere. You can really deposit your stuff really quick. Let's see. What else did I do? I think that was mainly it. I kind of cut some wood here. I actually did became a little thief, and I was like, ooh, this is nice.
we'll talk about the thieving part once we get to Qadarn. Specifically, or no, Cruis? Or no? Yeah,
because there's some... Qadarn worker.
Okay, those are the ones you want to talk about. All right. Anyways, currently 5 banks, if you include the one in the dungeon, according to the wiki. 2 altars and an obelisk. So that's definitely fair enough in that regard. So let's start with Iowarth. So let's assume, did you guys enter from the east or the south?
South.
South, there's an east?
Yeah, the east.
I came from the main entrance from Liada.
Okay, so that's south. Because there's also the east entrance, which is the mountains that come from the gnome area, which you can access after the fact.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, the path trail before that was blocked off and all that good stuff?
Yeah, the one, you know, where you do that treasure trail right there?
Oh, yeah?
Huh.
Yeah.
Limestone quarry.
Exactly. That's the area. So, starting from the south when you guys come in, that's where the Isleworth area is. And this is the Malie and Slayer encampment with the... Mm-hmm. Slayer Master Morvan, I want to say his name is. I might be forgetting a syllable there. Let me just have a quick look at that. But at the end of the day, these Slayer tasks are substantial. I got a Slayer task of 250 Abyssal Demons.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Using the Abyssal Mask and whatnot. So this, I think, is what us higher level people in terms of Slayer have been craving for, you know, Slayer tasks that we can just go and do for long periods of time that we don't need to, you know, always be jumping back and forth between, you know, going to get a task and maybe getting a garbage task that we don't want. So I definitely like the larger numbers in that regard. His name is Morvran, by the way. He requires 85 Slayer and 120 combat, as we talked about in the design document. We won't go over too many specifics here because we've already talked about most of them in the design documents. We'll just go over kind of what the main highlights of each area are. But his tasks are pretty good, so I would say that if you have 85 Slayer, 120 combat, and access to the city, this is where you want to be. Also, he's got the Rush of Blood minigame, so that is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, some people have been saying that this is a little bit too hard. Because, the idea is that you need to survive for 10 minutes and potentially complete up to 20 waves of these Slayer creatures and bosses in general. And they're split up into different categories of difficulty: bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Bronze requires 85 Slayer, platinum requires 99, increasing by 5 along the way. So I don't have 95 Slayer, so I can only do bronze and silver, but that is certainly enough of a task as it is, because if you're doing bronze and silver, you'll run into things like black dragons, mithril dragons, steel dragons, iron dragons, black demons, Vire Lords, Aquanites, Necriel, Dagonoths, Roari, Tazar. And then finally, if you take it all the way up to the top, you know, level 95, you have the chance of seeing Eruz, Wounded Glacers, Mutated Jadinko Males, Tormented Demons, Calgarian Demons, Celestial Dragons. It is quite the feat to be able to complete something like this.
You mentioned that there are also bosses in there as well. Do we got bosses like the God Wars bosses?
No. As far as they go, bosses-wise, is the Tormented Demons.
Those aren't even bosses.
But well, they were the boss in Wellgothic Sleep, so I figured we might as well call it that, right?
Mm. I wouldn't even call them the bosses, because you had level what? You got boosted by the Stone of Jest, you had level 255 everything, and so you basically mowed them down.
Yeah, but they're kind of difficult after the fact. But regardless, basically what you get from these is you get a good amount of Slayer XP and a bunch of other rewards. So some things that I got were some charms, some pieces from the Kalphite King to recharge my Dragor weaponry, a couple of herb seeds, herbs themselves. You also have the chance of getting something called a Most Wanted card, which is basically a card for specific creatures out in the world that increase the unique drops of those. And there's currently only four of them, and those are for Abyssal Demons, Automatons, Glacers, and Tormented Demons.
Wow.
I got the Glacier card, so I assume this would increase my chance of getting the boots from them.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, did either of you guys give this a go?
I did not, no.
No, didn't have time. Although, Shane, you and I need to do some co-ops later and check this stuff out. Come on, Shane.
Huh?
Co-ops later.
No, it's okay. Main reason I asked is because, I don't know... Yeah, you guys have. I know you have 95 Slayer, but do you have 95 Slayer, Alex?
97, actually.
Okay, so yeah, this would be a perfect thing for you guys to test out, see how hard the level 95 version of it is.
All right, I can do that.
Yeah, but not right now. Save it for later.
It's a safe minigame, right? Like if you die, then you just get kicked out. All right.
Yes, it is a safe minigame.
So you bring familiars.
Oh,
do a low on food and prayer potions and all that good stuff.
And there is a bank chest that you can use down below. But, you know, it, of course, counts down on your ticker because you only have 10 minutes to complete this. So you got to be mindful of how often you're banking. The only time I had to bank is when I forgot my Avandis Flail when I had to fight some Firewatch.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you have to be ready for anything, don't you?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Right. There's also... a special assignment that he offers in which if you kill 10 bosses in a row with debuffing crystals and each of them make the each successive boss gets harder and harder as you go. So this is truly, I want to say, end game content for Slayer, and I think people are going to appreciate this. With this and the Rush of Blood distraction and diversion, there were people saying that, oh, it's too hard sort of thing. But we have to remember that going forward, we are going to have some advanced potions coming out with Batch 2. And this is brand new, a brand new way of fighting. So there are going to be ways and strategies and whatnot that can optimize the amount of time you spend doing this. So I think it's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Because lately with the evolution of combat, lots of things like, for instance, the fight keel, they've actually grown to be pretty darn easy if you know what you're doing.
And
so
you know,
having another challenge like this makes the game a lot more interesting.
Exactly.
Again.
That is why endgame challenges are needed. But that's just a small smattering of what's available in Iowarth. Another thing, of course, is the preferential Slayer assignment and assignment extension. So once again, this seems to be the place to be doing Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving on, we got Traherne, or Traharn, I guess we can call it.
It's Traherne.
Which is mining and smithing. So, you guys know how we've been wanting something like ivy for mining? Well, here we are, level 89 mining with the Saren stones.
Thank God. Yes!
Yeah, and I mean, you just sit here and you mine, and it is the least intrusive way of mining that exists. This is an update that... I think anybody who wants to train mining will be happy to have because, you know, dealing with the living rock caverns, it's okay to do, but, you know, it's not exactly optimal and you have to bank your stuff. But with this, you can just sit there as long as you want. So, very nice.
It's pretty much like an infinite falling star that you just click on it, you mine for a bit, and then when it changes state, then you have to click on it again. So it's not something you can click on and then just sit there for 10 minutes. You actually have to keep yourself updated a little bit.
Yes.
Do you get anything
But they
from
do
it?
Instantly spawn, though. They do instantly respawn, so you can always click on it and you always mine.
You have a chance of getting something called a corrupted ore, and basically this corrupted ore stacks. It gives some smithing XP, but not enough that you can train mining and smithing at the same time with it. Basically, the idea behind it is that you don't want somebody just sitting there training mining and smithing and getting 99 all in the same process.
That would be silly.
Yeah. So you are able to get the corrupted ore. There's also gemstone rocks, which have higher drop tables than the ones in Shiloh Village, with the rare chance of giving an onyx.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa, I did not know that.
Yeah, spirit gems too. So, I mean, it feels as though there's actually a reason to mine gem rocks now. Because, you know, gem rocks are always useless when mining them. Because you get those opals and jade and whatnot. But who really use those opals and jades? Like, they weren't
world level
exactly
crafters.
Yeah, and aside from that, they were useless. So
totally, yeah.
They were for bolts, but no one bothered with those bolts after since rubies and diamond ones were released.
Yeah,
they were useful once, but not that much now anymore. But you know, gem rocks were always cool, especially if we got gem bag. Ooh, that was nice.
And not to mention the spirit gems you can get from this too. Like, imagine netting a spirit onyx or something, and you know how many charms that would save you in summoning. It's a very good thing, and somebody actually made a substantial amount of profit from mining gems here. So much so that it actually was determined to be a bug that, you know, these were giving onyxes away faster than they were supposed to.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so we should have camped the gem rocks on the first day.
Oh, well. I mined a few times. I got a spirit diamond, so I'm happy enough.
Yeah. Another thing is there's going to be veins of ore similar to, you know, the living rock caverns from Mithril and whatnot and Addy that are going to appear, and you're just going to be able to mine them for a while. They appear at specific intervals. People seem to think there was maybe a bug with them not appearing at the right times, but Jagex thinks that this is happening because everyone's at the Seren Stone, so they just miss them entirely. So remains to be seen what's on that front. But this is an amazing area, and I think it is a way of telling smithers that, hey, mining is a good thing to train now. You can do it all here. There's even rune rocks that appear.
I know. So they give out real rune rocks, or are they just...
Oh, yeah, they're rune rocks. They're the real
okay.
thing.
Okay, yeah. Good. Good, good.
Yep.
Yay, rune rocks.
I think so far this is my favorite part. Because there's also a tree patch in this area.
Oh, farming. Of course.
Farming power.
It's just one of the many farming patches that I have to work with now.
It's a tree patch? So
yes.
Regular for tree or?
Standard tree.
Okay. Yep. Where's that crystal one?
That is in the Tower of Voices.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on, Kadarn is ranged magic and the max guild.
That's right.
Ranged and magic, you know, it doesn't really seem as though there's much here to do with ranged and magic, I want to say. I mean, like, you can fight the mages and the rangers here, and you can use the battle staff shop, which gives you an extra 20 battle staffs per day. A way of recharging dragonstone jewelry, flax
Wait,
say field.
What?
Yeah, huh? They have a fountain there.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Actually, no, I just use it. Actually, I need a totem. God dang it.
In fact, the fountain is in the picture for Let Me Take an Elfie, if you take a look at that.
Yeah, and another really interesting thing here is that there's a bank chest in the Kadarn area, and there's also a flax field. Nearby.
They're pretty darn close to each other, too, so...
Yeah.
So what's interesting about the city is that there's lots of bank chests, but they're very, very close to things that otherwise wouldn't have a bank chest nearby.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And it's not to a point where it's overpowered, I think, so that's good. So oh, yeah. I'm happy about that.
I'm still a little concerned about the house portal being practically next to a bank, because that's how you train your construction from now on.
Where's the house portal? I missed that.
The house portal is, there's like a stand with four portals just outside the Tower of Voices, and it's almost across from the bank. So it's literally on the same screen.
Okay, got it. The max guild, anybody who has 199 can go inside, just the garden. And there's a really interesting thing there where you can unfurl a whole bunch of flags for all the 99s that you have. So that's a really fun thing to do. There's also a portal there that goes to a skilling spot, which you can attune to a whole variety of things, divination spots, just as an example. And once you have 15 99s, you can attune the second one as well. So... Mm-hmm. I think that's useful, really, especially to get to some of the really far off places, like an active crystal tree, for example. That's a nice one. The living rock caverns, if you want to do that.
Oh yes.
The wisp colonies. Top floor of the Runespan.
Is that out yet?
Hmm.
The wisp colony, or?
No, that's in the other one, batch two.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
I don't know. My favorite little thing was the grand tree. I was like, oh, we have a grand tree here. I was like, oh.
Spirit tree.
Oh, yeah, spirit tree. Sorry. I was like, ooh, this is nice.
It's as big as the grand tree, though, so you can almost call it the grand tree.
Yeah, this thing
it's
goes all
twin brother.
All the way up, and Reed Earth said, this was, you know, the first thing I noticed when I come in, because on this video, there's this huge, huge spirit tree that, you know, you don't realize as a spirit tree. And by the way, we're in the Cruis area right now. We just moved from Kadarn to Cruis, since Kadarn seems to be the, you know, the least interesting to me here. So
what's funny is that they've got rangers and mages that you're supposedly supposed to fight with ranged and magic, because that's what trains, but you're gonna totally be fighting the rangers with melee because that's their weakness. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I mean, you can also pickpocket here, which I think requires level 93 thieving, which I don't have. I don't know if any of you guys have tried the pickpocketing at all.
Okay, there are different levels among them. Like the Kreas, the Kreas ones are level 97.
All right.
The worker ones were nuts. Kadarian workers. I was like, I clicked on one. I was like, huh? Like, ooh, okay.
You just keep on doing it over and over again. Click up once, and you keep on doing it until they discover you. And sometimes you can do it for like a solid 5 minutes and get like how many 10,000 XP.
I know. Wow. I was like, wow. But I'm wondering if this works with the pickpocket elves daily.
It would, I think, because they're elves, right?
I've tried that later.
But, we'll talk more about the thieving aspects later, specifically since there's no thieving clan yet, and we do have a question about this. But moving on to Cruis, this is farming and woodcutting.
This is your favorite.
Yeah, so far, yeah. One bank chest.
Yep.
Of course, the magic, or not the magic tree patch, the bush patch, the herb patch. And the elder tree patch is also here. Magic trees, yew trees, a farming shop with pineapple seedlings that you can buy if you don't have them. I really don't think that they're as economical, you know, as it would just be buying the pineapple seed, because, you know, you can get pineapple seeds so easily from the kingdom and whatnot that I think you're going to have a cheaper price if you just do it that way. Which is kind of unfortunate.
But then again, they're available. Like, you don't want to wait the entire day for your kingdom to produce the seed. You just walk up to the guy and buy it just right away.
Yeah, okay.
But even still, it might be cheaper than the Grand Exchange.
Yeah, 14K at the Exchange. I think the pineapples are 20K, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they are 20K. Maybe you can sell it and make a small profit off of it or something. I don't know.
Buy a bunch of pineapple seeds and sell them.
Yeah, but no, I saw the seedlings. They're like, wow, that's a lot. And I saw the pineapple ones. I was like, that's expensive.
Yeah, and I, you know, the main thing that is going to change the way I think people farm is the elder tree spot here specifically, seeing as you can only grow one of them, and it is its own unique tree patch. So it's not as though, you know, you can have elder trees growing in the Varrock or something like that. You do actually need to have access to the Elf City to grow an elder seed. These seeds come from, which I really, really am kicking myself this week
for not
wearing that crystal amulet more.
I got one elder seed, and that was it.
Yeah, I did not know that for every 24 hours of skilling, you produce one elder seed. I honestly glossed over that part when it came out, so I do not have any elder seeds. And ever since this thing came out, all that I've been doing on RS, except for maybe a couple of abyssal demon tasks, has been skilling. So I am really kicking myself this week.
And when you say skilling, you mean farming?
Well, skilling, anything not combat related. So, and you can't get them anymore. So the question is, where are you going to find these now?
Pickpocketing Cruis? I guess you could pickpocket Cruis for him. But again, you need level 97 thieving for that.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm still trying to figure out where you get crystal seeds from.
Okay.
Like the tree seeds, crystal tree seeds.
Right. Now, this is kind of frustrating at the time being because, you know, there aren't as many ways of getting the crystal seeds as we'd like. Entering the Max Guild, if you're maxed, you get a crystal seed from that.
Oh.
You get them from from capturing crystal implings, which are very rare. And once the Elf City is complete, you'll be able to do an agility lap and have a rare chance of getting a crystal acorn to grow the crystal tree. So they are a rare thing, and it's not going to be something you're going to be, you know, just getting willy-nilly, because they are rare and they are untradeable.
What, the elder seeds or the crystal seeds?
The crystal acorns.
Acorn. Oops.
And do they just grow regular crystal trees similar to the ones that are already in the world, or do they have their own special purpose?
Well, the way I understand the crystal tree is you grow it in the crystal tree patch at the Tower of Voices, and then once you harvest this, you can harvest it once per day to get a small amount of XP, in addition to also the XP from planting it. So it's going to take a long time to grow. Probably on the order of spirit trees, if not longer, I'd imagine.
And on that,
yeah, and on that note, in terms of farming, the Cruis area, if you talk to the gnome there, he will unlock the third spirit tree for you, so you can grow your three spirit trees now.
What gnome? There's a gnome there? Oh, right! Yep. That gnome. The fake gnome.
Glorion.
The fake one.
What?
The one that looks like a gnome but really isn't.
It's a fake gnome, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Anything else in Cruis that's interesting to you guys?
No, nothing for Cruis. I'm good. Need to explore more.
Yeah.
There's a loom, though.
Okay. What's that about?
Which you don't, well, the loom, like, I mean, you use it to weave stuff. There's only one in the Camp Ireworth, and there's one in the Falador farmhouse, and that's it.
It's when you grow, was it straw or barley or wheat or jute. Whatever it was? What was it? Jute. There we go. Jute.
Jute, yep.
There's some kind of fibrous
you
plant.
You should know that.
Why?
Oh, yeah, there's also one in Birthrope. But still, it's something kind of rare, even though it does help you create some fairly useful stuff, if not inexpensive. I guess it's just for lower level crafters.
Okay. So, favorite...
I just thought it was interesting.
Favorite part of the Elf City so far?
Ooh, you go first.
Do you really need to ask that?
Yeah. It's got to be a combination between Cruis and Treharne. Treharne because the extra farming patch and the corrupted ore. Or the Seren Stones, rather. So it's got to be a combination of those two so far for me.
Nice. I personally like Max Guild. Because there's lots of other skills that have guilds and stuff, and having a Max Guild for the elite who have all the skills. I think it's been kind of a long time in running. Because all you get when you get all your skills and stuff, you get a sweet cape and pretty well nothing else. Mm-hmm. So at least if you have a place that you can hang out, you got a throne you can sit on if you have the completionist cape, which I thought was kind of cool.
I'm sorry, I'm not going completionist cape just to sit on a throne.
No,
it's a reward. It's just an incentive, you know?
Yeah, nah. No.
No?
Oh. Shane and I calculated how many castle wars we would have to do to be able to sit on it. It was like, no. Unless you want me to bot.
No.
Let's not do that.
If you're going to do that, I can probably get done faster because I can go to bed. But no. We did the math, didn't we, Shane?
Yeah, it was not good.
It was like, yeah.
All right, in the center of the city, we got the Tower of Voices, which is a central hub that acts like a spoke. It goes outward, has the Lodestone, Grand Exchange, Challenge Mistress, Bonfire, you know, Golden Shattered Heart. And then the portals that Alex was talking about to the Clan Citadel, Ports, Haust, and Daemonheim. Crystal equipment by talking to Elunid. And you know those crystal seeds that we got back in Roving Elves for, you know, either the bow or the shield?
Mm-hmm.
If you have those two reverted to seed currently, you can actually grow them into a staff or a wand, which are level 70. So,
I finally can get a wand. Yes! Is that the same wand? Is that the same with Abyssal Wand or whatnot?
Abyssal Wand is 75.
Oh. Uh-huh.
You can also get these seeds from drops, don't you?
Yes. And you can choose what you want to convert them to.
That's pretty awesome.
So, I mean...
So if they kill elves until they drop a seed, and then you get any weapon you want. I like it.
Yeah, and I mean, this is good, because the level 70 wands, you know, was the Wand of Treachery, which was hard to get and kind of rare. And, you know, it has dropped in price, so... And, I mean, when you think about it, what do we have at level 70? We didn't have a 70 dagger. We got that now. Shield sort of thing. So it fills out nicely, the tiers, and you can sell these on the exchange. So I think it's a good thing, all in all, the crystal weaponry and whatnot. But for someone who is coming into the Elven City who has Drygors or, you know, Chaotix, it's not something that is really a main thing that you need to do. So it's nice that it's just here kind of off to the side.
Thanks.
Now, the Grand Exchange is here, which is good. You can teleport to the standard Grand Exchange also if you want. So it's a question of which one you want to use. Now, if you go upstairs, this is where we can talk about the memories. So, as you were saying earlier, Alex, you can find 8 memory crystals around the city. One of them comes from pickpocketing Arianwyn, and the other comes from growing a bush. So you get these 8 crystals, and you can review the lore, just as you did in Fate of the Gods. Yep. And interesting stuff happens... Also, when you use items on the Saren avatar that's upstairs, I mean, you can use Corrupted Ore on it, something happens. You can use a God Sword on it, and it will talk about that specific god.
Really?
Yeah. So, not only is it a way to review the lore crystals that you've got, but you can use pretty much any item that you can think of, and you'll have a dialogue with Saren as pertaining to something pertaining to the Elf City.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But the real thing is that comes from this is if you use a mound of bacon, a chocolate bar, and, what's the third item?
What? A mound of bacon, a chocolate bar, and something else.
A slice of bread.
A slice of bread.
If you use that.
A touch of love.
Huh? On Saren. You use it on Saren.
And Maud Elfborn appears.
What? That is a mound of bacon, a chocolate bar, and bread on the Saren crystal in the top floor of the Memories building, yep. And Maud Osborne appears. That's funny.
Let me write this down. Chocolate, bacon,
like mound of bacon as though like the maximum
size
stack you can make. All right,
that's wow.
I gotta try that. This is gonna be fun.
He has our mod has a little yummy for the bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chocolate bacon bread.
But it's Maud Elfborn, and it gives you the Elfborn title, which, is kind of fun to walk around with on the day of release. And, there was some thought as to when this came out. Is he actually speaking sense? But he is clearly just, you know, trolling the person because he says things such as, all other gods are either Zaros or Saren in disguise. Guthix is actually Saren's sister, and Zaros' long-lost son, which, when you think about it, really doesn't make sense. Another thing, the sixth age is over. You missed the seventh age, and now it's the eighth age. when goblins invent computers, Bandos will return, and then, you know, this is the point where I knew, okay, this guy's pulling our leg.
Yeah. Bandos.
Oh, I totally gotta try just to see what he says.
Everyone wants to go with Armadil's staff. I don't know what that one's about. You're really a god disguised as a human.
Damon, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, you want that all along, don't you?
I knew that all along.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Damonheim is actually a reality TV show where the elder gods are laughing at players.
That actually makes sense. That would actually make sense if you truly think about it. Think of all the stupid people that happen in Damenheim, and you will be like, this actually makes sense.
Yes, isn't it?
I bet Jagex has a camera hooked up into RS and just watching all the people going into a dungeon crawl. You stupid name, why don't you actually do the thing that's hurting about it? Why don't you kick her right? Why don't you grab a teleport? You stupid ass man, leave my mom, leave me. I'm done.
Okay.
No, please continue.
So, Mod Elfborn will actually follow you around until you go down the stairs, so, and he will just keep interrupting you all the way through. So, obviously some sort of play that Mod Osborn likes to talk a lot. Very interesting to see this brought in. So, there's that, and
Getting more stuff like this is awesome.
yeah, and I mean, there's I think this is the central hub for all lore because there's, like you said, there's going to be eight more memory crystals that you're going to be able to work with. So we're going to
You
be
know
talking
what?
more about this.
It would be nice if they actually made a library.
Well,
That
that's
we have. Well,
underneath the city, remember? And, we don't need access to it anymore.
the idea being since they're so up there and everything else, I think they should have a library. Even though like most people won't go down there anyway, but the only library we have is a library in Varrock and our own little bookshelf. So I think. Yeah, they had a library. We can grab all our books again, and plus maybe a couple more. It would be interesting.
I don't know. Upstairs is really the library because that's where all the lore stuff takes place. So, it's a library that's upstairs on the Tower of Voices. But nonetheless, I am very impressed with what we got so far here. And as I mentioned, we'll talk about thieving a bit later. But is there anything else before we move on from Prifdinas?
I'm gonna be thieving for a while, so I'm gonna be the first human player to be banned from the Elf City.
What's your thieving? I'm gonna see how many things I can use on Saren before I get bored.
What's your thieving level?
93.
96.
Mine, I'm
95,
93.
actually,
Alex,
sorry.
I, yeah. There you go.
Close enough.
Interesting.
And throw in that whatchamacallit, that new exoskeleton thing, plus gloves of silence and
Actually,
our
the
onion cape.
exoskeleton kind of takes over the Gloves of Silence because it has ram braces.
Oh right, I forgot about
Or
that.
bracers, yeah. So you don't need Gloves of Silence anymore. Sell them all.
Oh
But you do.
right.
But you should also wear your Arduin cape, and there's also a thieving aura you can wear as well.
Oh, the aura. Don't feel like I'm gonna save my loyalty points. I don't know why I'm gonna spend them on yet, but I'm gonna save them for a little bit. I'm
That's
waiting
your
for
call.
that. I'm waiting for that one title to come out, but it's never coming out.
What title?
My lord.
My
Yep.
Lord Tricky.
I.
Okay.
There is Lord, though. There is a Lord in
Yeah,
Raven,
but
but that's
want my
not.
lord.
Yeah, it's
I
not all the
want
way
my
for
lord.
him, so.
My Lord.
See, Lord, it's a little different with Lord and my Lord.
All
Let's see.
right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
There
Moving
was also a
on.
podcast that they did this week pertaining to some feedback and, just answering some questions. And a common theme was that, rush of blood too hard. And they said, this was designed to be a hard thing to do. They have had people beat it with level 80 gear, so it is possible in their internal testing. So it's just a matter of figuring out how.
By people, they mean Wook 16.
Well, maybe, or
Of
just internal testers.
course.
But with regards to the Special Slayer task, as to why Araxor was not included in the design document, it's because they didn't want to spoil it. So, I mean, you can bring something out and people are going to be complaining that it's not exactly like this and it's too hard, but at the end of the day, end game content. I got to tell anyone who says that any of the stuff in the combat area is too hard, is it is end game content. And this is what many people have been screaming for so long. And, now that you got it, it's too hard. So take it with a grain of salt.
Like, ask
Too
for
much
hard, they
salt
get hard.
entering.
Exactly. And, they will be, of course, looking at the gem rocks, I said, and seeing how they go stat wise, whether or not they need to tweak the rates of higher level gems once more, and so we'll see what happens with that.
Well, if you guys think that was hard, you guys should have been at RuneFest 2013, where they're demoing the Rise of the Brothers, or the Six Brothers.
Rise of
the
Six.
Oh, yeah, right.
That was impossible. Yeah. Literally, I don't think a single person pulled it off. Because we all died before we could take down the single brother.
Yep.
Hey, at least you went.
Yeah. So it could be worse, you guys. Don't complain. It could have been worse.
Yeah, and I think finally, in closing for the Elf City, we'll say that they are very open to suggestions and criticisms as to how it's actually looking now that it's out. So Mod Osborne actually has a topic on the nature of things that are going to be changed and tweaked going forward. So you can post on this and, you know, suggest additional things, comment on various things here. So if you have any questions, read this first before you start, you know, raising a stink on Twitter or something like that. That something
nobody
is
likes
broken.
Stinks.
Yeah. So we'll be back talking about the Elf City once more in the beginning of November, I think. So with that being said, let's talk about some of these Q&As. Because they did a Reddit AMA pertaining to this, which I think went quite well for them. And they also have a forum Q&A where they're taking questions now, and they'll answer them next week. So post on the forums or just read the remnants of this Reddit AMA here.
Okay. Let's take a look. Okay, can you contact the new Slayer Master using Lunar Spell NPC Lunar Spell? They said, no, not yet. Maybe in the future. Design your house as a Elf City style. That's nice. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Totally.
But they said, you know, you need a construction update for that to happen, and it's not on the immediate radar, but at some point we can hope. Not anymore.
What?
Not anymore.
Rage.
It's not going to be this year, or it's not on the radar for next year either, so we'll see.
I want my construction update. I want it now. Unacceptable.
All right, so that's the Q&A. So just post and, you know, ask Jagex the questions, but rather than asking us about this, because we don't know, we don't work there.
No, we don't. I want my construction update.
Okay.
Well, I was reading off some of the more AMA stuff. Nothing here. Anyway, I guess we'll go on to tweaks and fixes. Very small this week, isn't it, Shane?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing now is that you can now wear the Solomon's cosmetic override armor if you're wearing that kind of armor underneath. So if you're wearing Rune, you can wear the old style Rune cosmetic override from Solomon's store while PvPing.
Okay, nice. So anything here? Let's see. Massive pouches used in rune crafting will not degrade to dust correctly. Crafting combination runes not correctly with essence in the pouch.
That's
Let's
good.
See.
Because I think people will actually make combination runes now once again with the Vizwax machine.
Right. I don't know. I think it might be easier just for you to just do like a million of the Zemi altar and just stockpile them or just collect them as you're fighting with their other monsters or whatnot.
Yeah, but they nerfed the drop tables, and I don't know if you get combo runes from the ZMI altar.
Used to, I think.
I don't remember actually ever getting combo runes from the ZMI. Yeah,
maybe I'm just being dumb. Let's see.
You dreamt it.
Would be nice.
I've dreamt things in RS before, and they've happened.
I dreamt fire giants were once under my school.
I always dreamed that I died in some forsaken set of circumstances prevents me from getting to my gravestone. I don't know why.
A couple of HTML5 fixes. Every time I see HTML5 in the patch notes, it makes me happy because I know we're having some tech progress on the stuff that, you know, we don't see every other week. So that is good. I'm happy about that. And with that being said, I'll just throw out there that HTML5 works wonderfully on my AMD graphics card in the iMac, but I'm missing water on my NVIDIA graphics card on Windows, so I don't know where the issue is. But we'll see if that ever gets fixed. Because aside from that, HTML5 is very usable for me.
Nice. Although I'm not sure if you want water on your HTML, or I'm not sure if you want water on your computer, because that would probably damage it.
Oh, thank you for that. Oh, that's a good one.
I don't get it, but okay.
Water, like you don't want get water inside your computer?
Okay.
Anyways, pulling update.
Context. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Yeah. I got it. But polling update for the week. One a reaction survey for El City. 41% enjoyed it. 6% okay. 1% didn't like it. 15% want to play but haven't. And 33% want to play but can't. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, those who can are probably the ones that voted for whatever but can access it anyway.
What do you mean?
Remember when we did the whole polling updates? What do you want from the? What do you want from it?
Oh, from when we were choosing the skill focuses, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, because it is possible, you know, to be able to access the city but not use its advanced features, because all you need to have done to access it is complete the quest, which is only level 75. But as we know, Slayer Master, 85. Thieving, 90 plus. Mining, 89. So, you really got to be high up there to have full access to it. And 2% do not want to play it.
Hmm. They don't believe in elves? They prejudice against elves?
Perhaps.
No one can resist a dwarf. Shane doesn't get it, but okay.
No, I don't. But let me just say that 41% saying they enjoy it, 15% want to play it but they can, and 33% also want to play it but haven't, is a remarkable amount of people who actually want to experience this content here. We're talking 89% who either said they enjoyed it or want to play it in some form or another. So I think overall this is a quick poll on Jagex's sense once again, but nonetheless it does gauge a reaction that, you know, being the first Dragonstone poll that's out there, and you know, it was either invention or this, I think we chose the right option. So
I think just to finish up the elven storyline is props to many people already.
Yeah, and with regards to that, even if they had just finished up the quest, I think lots of people would have been happy with that. And the city was extra. Because remember what I said when we did the quest. The quest itself was quick. The reward was okay. It was moderate. And I said the real reward is going to be able to access that city 10 plus years in the making and have a feeling that something that has been on the map for so long you can finally walk into.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the reward for that quest. And I think at the end of the day, this is what people like me, you guys, play RS for, is huge rewards like this. The quest, finishing up this storyline that spans oh so long, it just feels like a whole new chapter has begun with regards to, you know, being able to finally access something that was off limits for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, we get a nice white tower.
And a whole lot more in that tower and a whole lot more to come next month. So I am very happy with this update, and I don't think it could have gone any better.
And it's a pretty big place, really.
Yeah.
So you can.
So, great job.
So proud of you, Jagex.
Yep. Alrighty, Alex.
Alrighty. Recently, they have Jagex, in commemoration of the new city, they have released a contest in where you take a picture of yourself in Priftiness. And apparently you can win a year's worth of membership, so you can take more pictures in Priftiness.
Yeah, so it is called Embrace Yourselves, everyone.
Here we go.
Let me take an Elfie.
That's right. Wow.
I don't know.
Because
And
once you go
then
elf, you can't be shelved.
Wow. That's new. How'd you think of that up so quick?
and not a clue. It just came out. I say stuff without knowing what I say.
Oh my. Okay. But
So yeah, take an awesome picture of yourself in Priftinus, and if Jagex likes it, they will give you a year's worth of membership. And if they don't like it, they'll laugh at your face.
and there's lots of places you can go. You can probably, even do something with the Orb of Oculus if you wanted, and go to HTML5 rendering if you really wanted to show the place off, which I would highly recommend you do if your system is capable. Only complaint, Facebook.
What?
You need to use Facebook for this competition.
So?
That ain't new.
Yeah.
You can also use Twitter.
Oh, okay, I missed that.
I don't use
Also, if you're
either.
on Twitter or Instagram, upload the image with a hashtag, let me take an elfie, and you'll be automatically entered.
Oh dear. Let me
Spam
take
attack.
an Yeah, let me take an Elfie is gonna be on Twitter and you're gonna see these RuneScape Elfie selfies, I guess.
Probably
Oh
have a lot
boy.
of close-up shots. Like close-up shots, person kind of on the side there, and you see something behind them. I don't know, some people do like to get creative, so I'm actually looking forward to those kind of gems in the rough.
Yeah, but I mean, it's RS, and I mean, you can't exactly modify the camera field of view or anything, to make it seem as though you got a
You
great picture and
can.
you.
You
How
can,
do you mo
actually.
what? How?
Use the Orb of Oculus, and I think there's actually a selfie option. Let me check real quick. Maybe it's a different game I'm thinking of.
It probably is, because I know there's no selfie option on the Orb of Oculus.
Yeah, okay, you're probably right.
Let alone being able to change the field of view, which would be nice. Because if you can change the field of view, you can essentially narrow your camera down so that, if you have a 60-degree field of view compared to an 80-degree field of view, you can see less and it focuses more on a specific area and uses those pixels to better effect. So, it'd be nice if you could be able to do that. But you have until 11:59 p.m. BST on the 28th to enter in this. You can also enter through Instagram too. So,
I just broke my Orb of Oculus.
yeah, doesn't surprise me. That thing doesn't work properly anymore since RS3 came out.
That's a shame. Alrighty.
All right.
So yeah, another competition, another means of getting free membership, and hey, it's fun, why not? What's next?
What's next? Well, next thing we have is we have the little winners for the little posters that they did. I like some of these. These are nice. It's
Yeah, these are
a
beautiful. These are awesome.
I kind of knew this one was going to win when I was in the finals, so.
I think so.
Yeah, Fate of the Gods. That one's nice. Let's see. I wonder who's a shadowy figure on top. Let's see. Oh, they
Evidently
have
Zaros, I think.
Totally Zoro.
Armadyl, Sarah Doman, Zam, and then Bandos from the Mystic Presumed Dead. Horror from the Deep.
I like Horror from the Deep. It's really good. I like the style they were going for there.
Lost City.
That one's nice.
Oh, this is, I know.
The Lost City one is my favorite, I think.
Rune Mysteries.
Yeah, the Ritual of the Measure.
Now,
I love Rune Mysteries.
oh.
Just look at Rune Mysteries.
Yeah, that one
Beautiful.
was good too. Ritual of the Majerat. That one is also very good. September 14th, 2011. Wow, 3 years ago already.
That's right.
Yeah, all very good, but yeah, I gotta say Lost City. That's my favorite.
I like the horror from the
But
deep one.
yeah. But anyways, Fate of the Gods won, so that person will be getting the 42-inch TV, the Sony TV.
And the copy of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which, as we know, will go right to the garbage.
What?
I'm kidding. That's actually not bad of a movie. If you
Yeah.
like action, just watch it.
Yeah, I'll say it again. The movie's directed by someone named Mark Webb, and the plot is not apparently that good.
I don't even care for plot anymore. I just like watching people beat each other up.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes in movies you do need to just not
Just say
really worry about
screw
the
all and
plot.
just watch
Doesn't
some fun.
make sense. And yeah, do that.
I mean, pretty well every single kung fu movie, like Chinese style kung fu movie, there's hardly that much of a plot and there's no ending, but the fighting action is wicked awesome to watch. And that's all you
That's
really
the whole
watch it for
point.
anyways. Yeah. Watch the fights. The 20-minute long fight scenes.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I still remember watching some of the old Jackie Chan ones where he's fighting for like 30 minutes straight. You're like, aren't you like out of breath? Like he is, but then like he somehow finds like the last mound of energy to go back on the prowl. It's like, aren't you tired? Like, I have no idea.
All right. Well, speaking of, being able to carry on for long periods of time, we got a BTS video talking about the Iron Man mode.
Iron Man. Oh yes,
Yeah.
isn't that the kind of like their version of Legendary?
Yeah, pretty much. It's the self-sufficiency mode and then the hardcore Iron Man mode, where if you die while being self-sufficient, well, you can either reset to normal Iron Man or you lose access to your account. But anyways, in this video, they talk about what is going to contain, and specifically that it will be being released within a couple of weeks, and they're just finalizing it right now with their testers and whatnot. I gotta say it's really interesting, and one thing that people need to get out of their heads is that this is not a way of modifying the game to make it harder. The whole point of Iron Man mode is to be self-sufficient. It's not to make certain things harder to do. It's not to make you burn fish more. It's not to make you less successful at mining. It's not to make, for example, combat harder, as or bring back old combat elements that people feel would, be able to make the gameplay harder. Honestly, this is some of the stuff that I saw while reading through the forums here, is that the people who were talking about Iron Man mode actually did think and use this as a way to wedge in their failed combat ideas from 2012. So, keep in mind that Iron Man mode is just about being self-sufficient. It's not about modifying other aspects of the game to tweak them in such a way that it's going to be so totally different. It's not about removing Make X as another
Right.
one. So, just keep that in mind when you're thinking about this, and it does require a new account. So it's something that you do have to commit to heavily. So it's not something that, people are just going to be able to go and play and convert their current accounts to Iron Man. You do need to have some significant forethought in this. And I think it's a good way for people who have reached endgame to play RS differently, because we've had the Grand Exchange for so long that we might as well have a different way of training nowadays. And this is colloquially known here around RSBNB as Metal Maniac 9 mode. Yep.
Or the lighter version of an Uncle Dano mode.
Yeah, there you go. So it is possible to do this in game currently, you just have to have the will. But this will be out next week in some form or another, not, though maybe limited, and the rest of it coming within a few weeks. So definitely watch this video. Learn about it. So,
It's a good idea.
anyways, that's all we got for RS stuff this week. We're going to move right on to the questions right now.
All
We got
right.
an audio question from the RR Man.
We do. All right.
Hey, Shane, everybody else, Hub Trekkie's back. I really liked last week's episode with the, you know, the fresh faces around it, and their reviews were really interesting. Anyway, I was wondering, have you played any new games recently, other than RuneScape, and any new TV shows? And I'm still waiting to see if Continuum gets renewed. Have you heard anything about that? I've been looking on the internet, it's sort of just gone blank. It didn't end too badly, but... I'd love to have a season 4. Peace out, guys.
How does he do that voice effect?
It's actually from Skype. Skype gives us a weird modulation for some reason. I'm not unsure why.
Weird.
Yeah. But for me, games, no. TV shows, no. Not watching any of the new ones this fall. Kind of taking a break from TV shows, I think, at this point. Except for the one standard. This past week, Under the Dome finished, and Amazing Race Canada finished. And this week, Friday, was we're actually recording Amazing Race 25 of the U.S. season starts. So that's pretty much all I'll be watching this fall season.
Good, nice. Good. That's nice. What about you, Alex? When do you go next?
Me? Well, the final season of Avatar Legend of Korra is coming out on October 3rd, and they've already started the season premiere of the second season of Marvel, or Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm going to be watching those.
Korra was good. I liked the third season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good little season. Second season, a little bit trash, because it was just really slow and everything else, but it was good. This one was good. Yeah.
The season premiere is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. Okay. Anyway.
Any games?
Any games? No, whoa. Okay, sorry. Hold on.
I just
used a shard of Zoros on Saren.
But what happened?
She freaked the fudge out on me. All right. Otherwise, new games? I don't know. Basically, whatever is on Steam. I just go on Steam, and if I see a game that looks fairly appealing, I play it. And if it's cheap, it's got to be cheap and fun. So, no, I haven't really been playing any games.
I wonder what I've been really playing was, Shane and I have been playing StarCraft 2. I've promised myself, like, tone down the amount of games that I play. I've kept that promise, Shane. I haven't bought any new game except for one a while ago, and after I played, I was done with it. And it was because it was on sale. Yeah, okay. It was because it was on sale.
Specifically though, in regards to Continuum, I haven't heard much else aside from that either. I know it's trending towards the more optimistic sense at this point, and last I heard they were waiting on contracts for the actors. So that is potentially where that's going, with that. And, you know, being a Canadian produced show and on a Canadian network and being one of the only sci-fi shows on that network, I think they would push to resume with it. So yeah, fingers crossed on this end too.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, RR Man. That was from RR Man on Skype. So if you want to send in an audio question like he did, you can do it through Skype. Just send it to RSBNB update on there, or email to questions@rsbnb.com. And of course, if you live in the US and you want to use your phone, I don't know how many of you young people out there listening use a phone these days, but you can phone them into 571-572-2632, and that is the number from Virginia. So long distance charges will probably come into effect.
But ow. Suck it up, you're a man.
Or a girl. Or a woman.
Well, there's the word man in the woman.
Alrighty. Why don't you guys read this next one from Romska, please?
You go.
Me? All right. Hi, hosts. Muramska here. You're not mine. Alex, do you use the classic Adi set for the override on your avatar? Have you guys tried Iron Man mode? The idea of not being able to log back in when your character dies seems like a silly idea. Would it not be better if your character just respawned with zero stats and have a death counter above their head? Would that be a harder thing to code than locking the account out? Also, Shane, If memory serves me right, I remember you disliked the Razer gaming laptops. I was just wondering the reason why. And with that, Moromska is out. Might do an audio one next time if I'm not lazy. Equal sign zero.
Lazy.
Not lazy.
All right,
I'll probably take the first one here. Alex, do you use the classic Addy set for the Override New Avatar? I unfortunately do not. I have my own pimpin' style going on right now. That, in my opinion, looks a little bit better than the Adamantite armor. Because there's just so many different cool styles out there, I found one I like, and I just play with it. And when I find another one, I grab that as well. It's always changing. Always growing, you know?
All right. I have not been invited to... I've not been invited to Iron Man mode, even though I offered myself to test it, so we'll see if that happens. I don't know if I would go to the effect of creating a whole new account just to play RS in that way.
Kind of farming again.
Yeah, it could, but I mean, $5 a month to do that and do it that way, or I could just continue to 120. I think it's an easier option, continuing it to 120, because I can do it in my own self-sufficient way. But with regards to the part about Iron Man mode and deaths, yeah, it is easier to make it so that, you know, the account is just locked out unless you got the 500k item, which I name is escaping me, in your inventory. Because if you got that and you die, it just downgrades you to standard Iron Man mode. So it is easier to do it that way. And I think that if you were allowed to respawn and your stats were reset, it would kind of take away part of the allure of Iron Man mode, and that, you know, you are hardcore Iron Man mode rather than you can't die at all.
As for me, I'm not going to bother with Iron Man. It's not for me. I'd rather just play normally. Other people, I'm sure they will. I mean, look at Diablo 3 in Legendary mode. People are going nuts over that one, and people die left and right trying to go for it, but those who do, it's like, oh my god, I did it! And then the game, and then what happens? Power cuts out, the character dies to a random PKer.
No! Curse you, gods! You need some of the blame, right?
Sure.
Very well, blame Jagex for a power outage. Or actually, no, you can't.
Okay. Razer gaming laptops, the reason I don't like them is because
expensive.
Yeah, they are, and for that amount of money,
what's so special about Razer gaming laptops?
Well,
they're marketed shiny.
Yeah, it's marketed to gamers, and it's essentially owned by Dell, or no, that's Alienware, it's owned by Dell now, but it's the same hardware, and it's not anything special in my view. I would rather take that money and put it towards an Apple laptop, which is a much better design than the Razer gaming hardware. And plus, if you're gaming and you want a game, you're not going to do that optimally on a laptop. I'm sorry. The best way of gaming is on a desktop computer.
My laptop is decent enough.
Yeah, but it's not a pro gaming laptop.
Well, quite honestly, a pro gaming laptop is full of it. You basically have a battery life for 30 minutes.
Exactly. So what's the point? Get a Mac, build a $500 gaming desktop, and off you go.
Mac sucks.
No, they don't.
You take that back.
Mac sucks.
Please do.
Ooh, it's on. It is on. You and me, buddy. Once we meet, you and me.
We'll never meet. I ain't worried.
There you go.
Alrighty, well, thank you, Moromska, for that question.
My next one, let's see. I got
move on to the next one.
Okay, next question is from Pernasius. G'day, Shane, Trekkie, and Alex. I know there have been a lot of talk about Obsidian in this week's show, so I wanted to ask about the thieving skill. Have you guys tried it out? Have you seen how much money you can make doing it? When I first looked into it, I was sure my calculations were wrong, so I made a loot video on it. Sure enough, it was over 202 million GP an hour. What are your thoughts on this? Do you believe it's too much money coming to the game from those who are fairly AFKable now? or I think is fair, since it gives sealers a chance to make some reasonable GP like their combat counterparts. Thanks. Great podcast once again, Parnassius. So he's talking about like the whole thieving in here, right?
Cruis and whatnot, I think, yeah.
Right. Don't know, because I was trying it, and we kind of waited for it. After you get caught three times, there's like a 20-minute wait, I think, before you can do that group again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, so 20 minutes, and then you're guys supposed to do something else and come on back and do it again. I don't think... I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's overpowered, because I don't last... I don't can't thieve him that long, but again, I'm not 99 thieving and all that stuff yet.
Yeah, what's your thieving again?
93. I can't do the other groups yet.
Alex, how about you?
Me?
Yeah.
What was the question?
What's your thieving?
95. I just told you guys.
Yeah, well, I
told Shane and I, but Shane doesn't remember things, remember?
Anyways, yeah, you know, I... As, you know, going through the Elf City and seeing this kind of stuff going on, and this was one of the main topics on all the Q&As that were done, Twitter, Reddit, forums, and whatnot, is, are these too powerful? And it was also on the podcast pertaining to that. And the answer is, really, I think, in my view, no. Because if you think about it, and you get stupidly lucky at Araxor, well, there you go. That takes a huge amount of time. You can make some nice money off that. Same thing with the Queen Black Dragon. That's combat, and if you just grind that for hours on end, you can make insane money there.
What's the average? Like 4 mil an hour or something?
Yeah, around 4 mil an hour at the QBD. And the thing is, this is what we've been saying for a long time. I don't know if you guys have been saying this, but I know I like to echo this whenever a boss comes out. But this game's economy is so centered on being able to kill things and, you know, being able to make things die quickly and get money from it, that I think a little bit extra in the skilling part of it, specifically with the Elf City, is going to do wonders for the economy and make people branch out and think, is like, oh, do I really need to be doing Slayer 24/7 in order to become profitable in my character? Or maybe I can go do thieving, or maybe I can go do something else. So I think this is excellent, and it's one of the things that, you know, really, really makes me like the Elf City, and it's made me want to train a number of skills. Hunter for the Crystal Implings, just for the odd chance of, you know, being able to steal an acorn, or Crystal Acorn, or an Elder Seed, for example. I'm going to train my thieving up to, you know, level up and be able to do these. I currently only got level 90, so I want to go all the way with this. So it is making people like me train, and 2 million GP an hour for this kind of stuff is not as much at all compared to something like the Queen Black Dragon. So I think we're absolutely fine in this regard.
Totally.
So,
okay.
And by the way, Parnassius, if you're hearing this, please do send me a link to this video and I'll include it in the show notes, because there is definitely going to be, yeah, there's definitely going to be some demand to see, you know, what the numbers of this truly are and whatnot. So if you could show the video here and, you know, we can give you some promotion on that, and, you know, maybe we can encourage some people to go for thieving with this regard, or in this regard. So please do send that along to me.
Also, keep in mind, this is only the first week that the Elf City has been released, and so there's definitely going to be some changes and nerfing going on in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, this is something they said also in the podcast, that we're going to be watching this. We'll watch the amount of money coming into the economy, that sort of thing. So it will be subject to being tweaked, but I think as it is, that's a sane number, and even if it gets tweaked to half that, it'll be a decent way of making money without doing combat, which is what this game needs.
Totally. Still waiting for that non-combat boss.
Yeah, unfortunately, Araxor kind of lost out to that in the poll, so who knows if we'll see that next year or not.
Well, as long as we see Construction Update, I'm happy.
Yay! Construction Update! Woo! We'll see. We'll see. Yep. But thank you, Parnassius.
Cheers.
question topic will be up on Monday to post questions for 485, rsbnb.com/forums, or tweet them to at rsbnbstaff on the Twitters.
You know what I just noticed? This is episode 484.
Correct.
Yeah, this is divisible by four.
Uh-huh. Is there anything else special about the number 484?
No.
Mm.
Okay. Well, let's move on to tech news. A rather painful piece of tech news.
Will it bend?
Yes, will it bend?
iPhone 6.
Bend rather than blend. It's fair to say it's only the iPhone 6 Plus that's doing this, and Apple has only received 9 complaints pertaining to this. But as with the true online fashion goes, people see something like this, they want to, you know, figure out is this a real problem, how widespread is it, sort of thing. And if I recall, that's how Will It Blend actually got started. So it's just online stuff drumming this up, you know, and really, I think that the iPhone 6 Plus, from its beginning, was a flawed idea. Not only for this physical problem, which when you think about it, anybody who has done basic physics for, you know, engineering type stuff for structures and whatnot, will know that the larger a piece of metal without proper reinforcement will make it easier to bend. That goes without saying. So it's obvious that something was forgotten because it bends right before the volume buttons. So that does appear to be a weak spot. But with this, you know, the usual thing, take it to the Genius Bar sort of thing and, you know, see if it is appearing to be a sort of manufacturing type flaw. But with only reporting 9 customers reporting problems, I don't exactly know that we'll be seeing any sort of real redesign on this. I think if anything, it'll be a hidden redesign, much like the iPhone 4 and 10A issues.
Wait, are you saying that there's going to be a firmware update for the iPhone that prevents bending?
No, just a hardware update for ones sold in the future.
Okay.
Well, keep in mind, Alex, we've already know that the Wave firmware for iPhone 6 will make your phone microwavable to charge your battery.
Awesome. I got to totally try that right now.
I know. Go right ahead. Take a picture of it while you're doing it, too. I want to see.
All right.
Remember, iOS 7 also made your phone waterproof.
It did, didn't it?
Also microwavable, too. I remember that one. It did that microwavable thing twice. The sad part is, people don't seem to have learned a lesson the first time.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, any kind of device is going to bend if you put enough pressure on it, if you sit on it, drive over it, sort of thing. And, whoa, were you actually using a microwave?
Mm-hmm.
Cow!
Alex, you fool. What are you doing?
iPhone 6 in the microwave, bro. Check it out. Apparently it recharges the battery.
Oh, jeez!
It does not charge the battery.
He
it does not charge
is,
the battery.
He Fudge, man. Is acting, and let me tell you that right now, that he is acting this out. He would not.
No, really?
Yeah, I just got to say that for any listeners out there that this is the case. So, but yeah.
You're supposed to go with it, for gosh sakes. It's part of the joke.
No, we just did it to make you look funny. That's all.
Oh.
All right, so iPhone 6.
I don't
want to
look funny.
Plus...
This is a podcast. Ow, you don't look at stuff. I want to be funny.
Highly bendable and a bit of an issue with iOS 8. 0.0.1 as well, which has been fixed.
Okay.
All right. Hello. Hello. Who's hello that? There. Hello? Ever heard of hello?
Hello?
No.
Hello is a simple, beautiful, and ad-free social network created by a small group of artists and designers. We originally built hello as a private social network. Anyone want to take a guess at what this is?
Skype?
No.
With WebSockets?
No. That would be interesting. But this is actually the this quarter's attempt at a Facebook replacement. And, you know, for some odd reason, this is getting coverage in the news channels here. I don't know why. I don't know what the point is behind people trying to upstage Facebook. But I think at this point, Facebook is so established that unless you got a killer idea as to what is wrong with it and how you're going to fix it, and most importantly, how you're going to take these people off of Facebook, I think your product is doomed to fail.
Well, in theory, a good way is to show that we don't sell your personal information away.
Yeah, that's one of the things these guys do.
Claim,
correct. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, at this point, does it really matter? Can we just accept that Facebook is the winner and move on?
Tell that to MySpace.
Well, they're kind of bought by AOL, aren't they?
AOL still exists. That shows you how much we progressed.
Yeah, exactly.
They did, they did kill AIM, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, well, I think people want to message these days online with Snapchat and Instagram and WhatsApp and everything like that.
Hey, if you want to see what I'm eating on breakfast, go on Twitter.
Exactly. I mean,
because I'm totally interested in that. I just wanna know what you have for breakfast. Go ahead.
I just want to ask an honest question. How many more of these are we going to see, and how long is it going to be until one of these is effective? Because it's getting quite tiring every quarter hearing some other supposed Facebook killer, you know, coming around on the internet and the first in the national news, you know? So I'm wondering, when is this actually going to work if it's such a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who don't want it simply don't use it. So
it's not going to happen. You may as well try to create a brand new operating system to replace Windows or Mac.
Yeah, and that's been tried before. It's called Linux. That hasn't taken off either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just think it's futile at this point. And
I don't know.
I just want to see people stop covering this. And, you know, I had a very, very close decision when I was producing the show this week is, do I cover this or do I not? And the reason I chose to talk about this, and this is going to be the last one, I swear, the last one of these replacements we're going to talk about here pertains to
we're dissing them off.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't want anything more to do with this. That's our announcement. Goodbye.
And, I mean, like, I'm done covering these until someone actually proves that they can, you know, draw the users away and be successful. I'm done.
Okay. We get it, Shane. Breathe.
Yeah.
Breathe.
I can't even figure out how to make this LO website work.
I crashed it.
Anyways. LO.co.
Yep, that's our daily pick of the week. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Huh.
Okay, moving into some semi-serious tech news here.
This is very serious. This is our serious face. Take a good listen, because this is our serious voices.
In the coming days, there's a high chance you're going to hear something called shell shock, a vulnerability similar to Heartbleed that happened earlier this year. Basically, what is being called shell shock now is a zero-day code injection vulnerability in the Bash shell, which is used on Unix-type systems. Linux uses it default. OS X uses it as default. And if you have SSH enabled, allowing users to remote in to one of these shells, you are at risk of this zero-day vulnerability that allows remote code execution. Windows users do not need to worry. You do not need to worry that your system is going to be hurt by this. System administrators, on the other hand, anybody out there who is a system administrator, something Unix, Linux-based, that uses SSH or Bash, specifically SSH to access Bash, you need to update Bash immediately to fix this problem.
I use Bash. Hold on.
Yeah. But if you don't have SSH enabled on your Mac, for example, like most Mac users, it's not really an issue because you don't have a way to get remote access to that shell. The point where end users will be hurt with this is if a website like a banking company has a forward-facing SSH shell that can be attacked with this bash exploit, or maybe some website that you go to. So it's not really an end-user problem, but beware that stuff out there could become compromised, and you need to rely on the services and companies that you use to keep you up to date on their security. So if you start hearing about this on Twitter and on the news and you're a Windows user, just know that in a high likelihood you will be safe if the system administrators of the websites you use and services have been keeping up on their updates.
Okay.
And I did update RSVNB's problem good. With this. So we're good.
See, yay.
You don't update the problem, you update the solution.
Well, I update the code to fix the solution. I updated Bash to the newest version. And there we go.
All right. Fair enough. How do you update Bash?
It depends what system you're on.
How do you update it?
Are you on OS X? Okay. Yeah, you're going to need to wait for Apple to do that. And
OS 7.
Yeah, you'll need to wait for Apple to do that. But like I said, if you don't have SSH enabled, it's not going to be a real problem for you.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay, it's disabled. All right, disabled it. I'm good.
That's it for tech news.
Aw. I was having so much fun.
Sure you were.
Made my phone explode.
Yeah, you sure did. Alrighty, it's scared of month time. What have we got?
Alrighty.
Alex, why don't you take us through it? I mean,
alright. The September 2014 skill of the month, which was.
Fletching.
The total experience gained by all competitors is 17 million experience, which is about the experience you need for level 98. The top 20 competitors, we have only 11 of them.
Yeah, there's only 11 people in total.
Yep. We have our awesome winner, Flash, who started off with 13 million experience and gained a grand total of 9.3 million experience.
Ooh. With 4 days left in the month, I might add.
Which is pretty darn impressive, considering it's fletching, the most boring skill in the existence of RuneScape.
I could think of others, but...
Continue. Seriously, I have no idea how you guys do it. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Coming in a fairly close second, and when I mean close, I mean barely halfway, is Atron Cronon, if I pronounced that right.
Which I have rumors that he will be leaping into first by the time you guys are hearing this, so check rspmb.com/skotm.
It's possible the dude just suddenly jumped to several experience in the course of a single day, it looks like, so he might actually pull it off if he is really that devoted or crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Third place, and as it stands. Third place, Bithor Skite, or Bithor's Kite, or Blithor's Kite.
Blithor's Kite.
Blitherskite, okay. He is currently at 1.5 million experience and going pretty strong.
All right.
Hopefully he'll make a strong third place. Mm-hmm. But this is very exciting. The competition is starting to heat up now. Only a few days left until the end of the month. Who will come on top?
Find out next time on next episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
You mean RSVNB update. And two things.
Finally. Yeah, go ahead.
I really like Flash's logarithmic curve here. That's really nice to see. And the skill of the month for October is woodcutting.
Appropriate, because we just went through fletching and so we're out of wood.
Yes. Oh, that's great. All right. Thank you for that coverage on skill of the month, Alex.
You are welcome.
Moving into achievements of the week, we got three of them this week. First up is Tanis with 99 ranged on the 25th.
And we have our own Alex43 right here, who got 99 prayer on the 24th.
That's not impressive.
Sure yes, it is. And Mr. Bistro got 99 construction on the 18th. Congratulations to you all. And
construction bros.
yeah, Alex, I was kind of eating when you were having your when you were getting 99. So that's why I missed it.
Sorry. I texted you like, come on. I didn't want the guys to wait because they both had their awesome capes and they looked like they really wanted to get back to Prifdinas and do stuff. So I just had to get it and be done with it.
Yeah,
but I did get the Swedes picture for it, though. You check it out on RuneWire. Mm. I got 99 prayer in the Crafting Guild, of all places, which I thought would be interesting.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, yeah, well, that's the thing I do. Everyone. Whenever I get a level 99, I get in one of the weirdest places for it.
So, with that being said, let's move on to the pick of the week, which I am able to provide for everyone. This week, it's something that iOS users will be able to hopefully find some use out of. With the release of iOS 7, there was the option of having motion on your wallpaper. So you could bring in a huge wallpaper, for example, and you'd be able to resize it down so that if you tilt your device one way or the other, it reveals parts of the device and it looks like the icons are moving on the background. In order to really take full benefit of this effect, you need a large image, which iOS does provide. You can also use your own pictures if you have a huge landscape or something like that. Just take the picture and then you can adjust it so that when you tilt, it will show the areas you want it to show. But if that's not an option for you, there's a website called parallaxeyes.com that has a whole selection of wallpapers that are large enough that they can be used on iOS devices. And the idea behind these wallpapers is that they have textures and colors to the point where if you put them on your screen and you tilt them around, it'll actually create an interesting effect as to how the device looks. So as an example here, there is one of the planet in the background with just a vector type star field. And the idea is that, you know, it looks as though your icons are going to be moving on top of this, which creates a really interesting looking effect. So basically all the website does is gather wallpapers that optimize this effect and make it seem as though, you know, that, maybe we can trick the eye to see that the wallpaper is actually moving, but it's the icons that are actually moving. So
that's pretty cool. Where is it? Parallaxeyes.com?
Yes. Works, of course, best on the larger screen devices, so the five...
Parallaxeyes. Like,
yeah.
Like something eyes or something.
Yeah, the 5 and the 5S.
Summarize,
most of these,
parallax eyes.
Okay, yeah, some of these do work on iPhone 6, so you can use them for that as well. So definitely head there if you're looking for some iOS wallpapers. I've never done iOS wallpapers as a Pix before, and this kind of is just a link that I saw on Twitter, and I thought, oh, that'd be interesting and good for people who don't have... the ability to take large pictures of their own and use them as wallpaper.
That's pretty cool.
That's parallaxeyes.com.
Got some nice pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Cool.
Anyways, before we wrap up, I will just tell you guys to head on over to informer.rsbnb.com for an article by Mr. Bistro entitled Avoiding Burnout. Ensuring that you can play RS and just not turn it into a chore, which is something you do need to do if you're high level.
That's how I felt for a good long time until I finally said I need a break.
Mm-hmm. So, give that a read. All right, so let's start with you, Alex. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, I'm actually going to finally do the Elder Kiln because my brother did it. He said it was just so darn easy. He went and he did it a second time. Right away, I'm thinking, well, fudge. So now I'm going to go do it.
And you need a fire cape for each attempt.
What?
You need a fire cape for each attempt.
No, you don't.
Really?
Just need the one. And you can challenge as many times as you want.
Oh, so you only need to sacrifice one fire cape.
Yeah, you lose the fire cape and all that stuff. But.
Yeah. But you get it back. Just go and get another one. Which is easy enough.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, again, like I said, the fight kilns become sort of pretty easy. It used to be a really, really tough challenge that only the elite can do, but now it's you see everybody wearing those capes. I saw a level 42 with that obsidian cape on, and that was my mind was blown.
Yeah, so there you go. Anything else?
Not really. Work, kung fu, trying to stay awake.
He loves kung fu fighting.
Destroying my sleep schedule because I'm now doing our elite. I'm now doing what we call our elite program, which we start training at 6 a.m. in the morning, and we do it for an hour just to get the day started.
Oh my!
So gonna work on that. Yeah, I know I'm crazy.
How about you, Trekkie?
Finally got promoted at work, which I'm very happy about. That was very well deserved. Let's see, RS-wise, let's see. I haven't been on the show a lot, a couple of weeks, because I've been dealing with other stuff around my end. Let's see, I leveled up farming to 90, close to 91. I got myself to 94 summoning. No, not 94 summoning, 94... smithing. 94 smithing. Did a couple of dailies because I thought I'd try those out. And what's the last thing I did? Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. Just to level up. And I've been killing frost dragons because I think I'm going to just go for 99 prayer before the whole double weekend stuff comes out. And I think I almost have enough.
All right, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. As for me this week, mainly the Elf City. As I said, I mentioned I did that huge 250 Abyssal Demon Slayer task. After 1,615 Abyssal Demons, I finally got a wand. Took long enough.
Nice.
Only worth 1.9 mil now, but it is a nice drop, provided that you are on a Slayer task. Let's see, in addition to that, just been doing some charm sprite hunting because I wanted to get some charms and some hunter XP, and I'm not really a fan of traditional hunter in that regard, so I much prefer to do things like charm sprite hunting, so that was good fun. Bunch of garbage treasure trails, only a couple lacquer away now from completing my Death Lotus armor set on ports, and that's pretty much it.
Nice.
Woo!
So, yeah. But the Elf City is, of course, the highlight of the week. So
totally.
Actually, for me right now in ports, I'm thinking about doing another wave of firing because I think I'm going to try and upgrade the crew to have a special trait, at least a trait. Some of them are empty. Oh, okay. And I think if I can get them to have a trait, it may be helpful in the long run. 100 here, 100 there, it does add up.
Yeah, and who knows what we're going to end up needing with the ports expansion next year. So, always good to be thinking proactively about that. But yeah, with that being said, that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. As I promised, we'd be back to a sane time this week, which I've delivered on, so I'm happy about that. And we'll see you next week. So have a good week, everyone.
Take care, y'all. Keep smiling.